Understanding more about citta, understanding more about seeing, understanding more about thinking. The question is, citta is the reality which doesn't show up. It's a reality which is difficult to understand. So I think we need to talk more about it in order to have more condition to understanding a little more about it. Otherwise, it's not any understanding of it. Even talking about it, discussing and hearing the words of the Buddha, the explanation of the Buddha about citta, it's there, but it's here. But where? I can feel that it's here and now, but I can't understand it.
You're talking about citta, right?
Yeah, citta.
It must be there because there is experiencing,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't appear, is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
So it doesn't appear.
So we need to talk about it. No, it doesn't. No.
Do we mind that it doesn't appear? Is there clinging to it appearing?
Oh yes, lots of it. Lots of clinging.
So the clinging is the problem, not the lack of appearance. The wishing, the expecting, the even trying to have citta appear when it doesn't appear.
That's why we need to talk about it. And to listen, and to consider, and to listen more, and consider more, and talk about it more.
I think Alberto is picking up on a point that Chan often makes, that the visible object is there, but is there any understanding of the seeing, the citta? That's a reminder, that's all. Just a reminder. It doesn't mean that suddenly seeing is going to appear, but at least we appreciate that nothing appears without there being the faculty of experiencing whatever appears.
Can we say that it's now appearing but no understanding of it? Whenever there is seeing, there must be visible object appearing, but no understanding of the truth of visible object as it, no one, no self, no atta. Because the Buddha said all dhammas are anatta. It has to apply with any moment. Even right now, whatever is that is anatta. It's not anything we used to take it for, a glass, a cup. In truth, atta is there with wrong understanding and ignorance, while in truth, it's not atta. That's why only great understanding, gradually understanding it. At moment of understanding, even it's very, very little, it is the little letting go of the idea of self. Because in truth, no one there, nothing there at all, but it appears as something. In truth, we learn about what is the truth of this moment. What is seen is there only. So now, having understand the truth of that which is seen as only that which is seen, only that which is seen, only that which is seen. Gradually, it erases or let go something in it. Each moment, little by little, until what is there in daily life, in truth, is nothing. It's only seeing which is seen, the sound which is heard, the smell, only six doorways. And understanding is not ignorant. Ignorant has no idea at all what is there. Even is there. But ignorant cannot understand it. But understanding is the moment of not just hearing, but considering whether it's true or not. There is seeing, we take the shape and form of that which is seen as the eye or the table, the chair or the ear, see, or something, atta, until right understanding, letting go or erase the idea of something out or away from what is now appearing. That's why the difference between understanding and ignorance and misunderstanding is there in a moment at the seeing. Because how come the idea of self, even we wouldn't say, I see, but it's I who see. While it's there seeing and visible object, but the idea comes in. Sneak. Very unknowingly.
So now there is seeing. It is just the seeing itself. No one that sees at all, just at this moment. There is just the world of seeing, just what is seen. And it has a characteristic. It is just the seeing, different from what is seen. And it can be known even now. There can be understanding developing gradually on and on until it is direct understanding of seeing. It's just a Dhamma that sees. No one that sees, nothing that sees. Quite different from what there is clinging to or trying to have or wishing, because it's just the Dhamma which sees at this very moment that can be known.
And when there's no development of understanding, seeing as it is yet, it has to be I. No understanding. But from hearing, considering, anyone cannot make it strong understanding or clear understanding. But each moment of understanding develops secretly, now, little by little, until it shows up as different degrees of understanding. No thought, no idea about hardness now, and then it's there. Not forget about that which appears as just that has to be known. The nature of it, as when it is there, nothing is there. Nothing is there. Even at this moment, many things appear too. But at the moment when hardness, not that which is seen, is there known, it's a moment of nothing is there, only hardness. Otherwise it cannot be clear understanding, little by little, of that which hasn't been understood before. At all.
And we hear Ajahn say, listen again and again and again, and some people think that means put on the recorder and listen all day and don't go shopping and don't do anything. But it doesn't mean that. It just means there has to be the careful considering, the opposite of I wishing or trying so hard to experience seeing, because it is just seeing now. It is just hardness now that is touched. So it's not a matter of whether we're in the room listening to the discussion or whether we're out shopping or eating food. Anytime, by conditions, there can be the careful considering. There can be understanding of just the world at this very moment. And that's the way confidence develops, and there's less and less minding whether one is here or there or watching television or in the discussion, because hardness is hardness, seeing is seeing even now. So there can be understanding even at this moment, because it's just the Dhamma that sees, not I or anything to be found, just the reality at this moment that
arises, performs its function, is gone, and it can be known little by little, just as what is seen can be known little by little. Otherwise, it's the idea of I must just be in the room longer, or I must turn on the tape longer, or I must do something. That's the idea of I, still trying to do something, follow a practice in order to understand, instead of just understanding what has been heard and considered at this very moment. So it has to be very naturally. I think the I comes in so quickly, trying to do, trying to catch it, trying to be aware, trying to understand, instead of letting understanding develop naturally, and that trying or wishing hinders the development, prevents the understanding from arising.
And the sense of urgency, isn't it like an aspect of understanding, seeing the danger of bakusala and being more attracted to the teachings?
So at a moment of understanding, there is sense of urgency. The more understanding, the more sense of urgency. It's the opposite of the idea of this is so urgent, so I must understand more. I must try to be aware of seeing because it's so dangerous and so on. So it's just an aspect of understanding that develops with understanding, not anything to be done, not I must hurry up or somehow the understanding must be speeded up, because that's I following a practice, doing something, hindering the understanding from arising now.
And isn't life, is it short or is it long?
One moment only. But if there is the idea, so we understand life is one moment and understanding is precious, but if there is the idea, life is so short, so I must have a sense of urgency and make a greater effort, it's the wrong path.
On the other hand, it's correct to think that death can come at any time, so there's no way of knowing whether life is going to be longer or finish in the next moment. So that can be a reflection that conditions a sense of urgency.
When that moment comes, would it help to be a moment in which you're thinking about the teachings rather than maybe watching TV or going to the movies or sightseeing?
The thinking about the teachings can happen in any situation. Those things you mentioned are situations, watching TV or going to the movies.
But not listening to the teaching. You're not going to...
Well, it doesn't preclude thinking about what is appearing at the present moment.
It precludes the listening, right?
It precludes listening, yes. Yeah. But even when listening, that doesn't mean that there's...
No,
kusala citta.
Moment of this. No more this present. The new one, instantly. No different. Seeing again, hearing again, smelling again, thinking again. Keep on. Go on. Endlessly. Unexpectedly.
If we think there's only this moment, only one moment, so one shouldn't waste time shopping or going sightseeing or enjoying lunch, or one should just be sitting in a discussion all day, that's not right at all. Because it's thinking of situations, it's not the meaning of careful listening and considering. Listening and considering doesn't mean don't turn on the TV ever or don't go out to have dinner.
Maybe it's a bit more right than going shopping, or Maybe just a little bit more right than going shopping or doing sightseeing. No, even a little bit.
When you say more right than going shopping, what are you referring to?
Yeah, because when we talk about considering doing shopping or sightseeing, of course, we don't really think about the teachings when we go shopping, right?
I'm not sure about that. We're not consciously thinking about the teachings. Can there not be a reflection at a level that's not readily apparent? Doesn't that kind of reflection go on, conditioned by what one has heard?
Yeah, theoretically, yeah, it's possible. But
well, what about in your experience? Do you ever find that suddenly you realize you've been thinking about the Dhamma without actually being conscious that that was what was happening?
Yeah, my experience is when I watch TV, when I enjoy doing anything, really. Yes. I'm not thinking about the teachings at all. I'm thinking about enjoying the whatever activity I'm doing.
So if you're watching something on TV and you see a person kill another person, does it not ever have any thinking in that sort of context? There's a lot more reflection. I'm not suggesting that's a good example, but I think there's a lot more reflection. The reflection is conditioned by the fact that one's interested in the Dhamma and has heard lots of explanation of the Dhamma. So there's bound to be reflection. Otherwise you're suggesting there's only reflection when you make a time to reflect.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is the best opportunity to reflect is, like, in a situation like this, talking, you need to think about it, right?
Well, this is an opportunity for hearing also, and that can condition reflecting at a later stage. So when you're on the plane back to Italy, there could be reflection conditioned by what's heard. And even when you're enjoying your on-board meal.
Sound rather like the wrong idea people have when they become monks, thinking then they will have more time for Dharma and don't need to be involved with household activities like cooking and shopping, and they'll have more opportunity just to be with Dharma books. But as we can see, it doesn't mean there is more understanding, because the understanding depends on understanding. The seeing now, what is conditioned now, no matter whether in the shopping mall or on the plane or in the monastery, seeing is just seeing. So it's the right understanding that is the key, not the activity. Otherwise one will feel it's a burden to go shopping, or that working is a hindrance to developing understanding of Dharma, because one has less time to listen to the recordings. But that can't be right at all. It sounds like wrong understanding, not confident in seeing now, hearing now, thinking now, understanding Dharma anytime, any activity, by conditions. That's why we say for those who become monks with the idea that gives them more time for Dharma, it's the wrong motivation, not the understanding of the nature of Dharmas as conditioned. Or when people say, oh, now I stop going shopping, so I tell my family members to do it so there's more time for Dharma. But that can't be right. It's thinking of situations rather than understanding the realities.
The meaning of daily life. What we do in daily life is what we need to understand, and every moment is by conditions. So,
and what is daily life in truth, no matter whether here or there, it's just moments of seeing and hearing and thinking, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, kusala sila, akusala sila. This is daily life.
It reminds me, like in the time of the Buddha, there were people which were more accumulation for even monks have a different accumulation. So someone would live in the forest, other would live in with the other monks, and lay people would live in the lay people life.
That's the point, and the understanding didn't develop, depend on whether they're with people or in the forest or in the marketplace. It depends on the accumulation of understanding from the careful considering. That's why the teachings are as valid in any country, in any place, in any time. I think it's a burden if one thinks it has to be in this place, at this time, in this situation, on this occasion. So for me, whether I'm shopping or here or doing something on the computer, just different dharmas. Each one is conditioned.
What is urgency?
Panya, the understanding that it's, that a kusala is dangerous.
Can urgency understand?
No.
So it's not panya.
Okay.
So what does it mean in Tipitaka, the words of the Buddha? It's not as we used to think about. What is the point of being urgent?
It seems to me that being urgent is kind of making effort, special effort.
Is it a reality?
Yes.
What reality is it?
It's a kind of virya.
Okay, virya. So being urgent have virya too.
In the case of urgency,
mm-hmm.
So it's an attachment to a goal, to a goal.
Is it attachment when Buddha urge?
No. Yes, in a conventional.
But the
term.
Truth, we are talking about different kinds of virya.
Yes.
Virya, which is not parami.
Yes, in this case, it must be wholesome virya.
What degree?
I think very high degree accompanied with an understanding only.
Low degree or instantly high degree?
I think it must be in the degree of vipassana. Vipassana.
The word again, vipassana.
I think for the emergency is not belong to level of an understanding, also the level of virya also. Is state by state and a little bit more firmer and a little bit more effort, a little bit more understand and a little bit see the danger of the some ignorance, and it's not immediately to see the danger.
So what's the point of urgency?
What is the point of urgency?
What is the point of having a sense of urgency?
I'm not sure.
To understand the truth. So now, is there urgency?
Not yet.
Why do we come here? Not go to other places?
Like a prompted citta.
That's why each word of the Buddha is so very subtle. Even the word urgency, what for, to where, to what? To understand the truth this moment, of this moment, which is very, very subtle each moment. So urgency to consider carefully what is there now. Otherwise, urgent to do something else, not to understand the very subtle reality right now. That's why urgency at moment of considering carefully. It needs virya to consider each reality because they are very slight different. For example, chanda and lopa. And when do not appear, we learn about them. We learn about all kinds of realities, dhamma, in order that when time comes, the understanding is full enough to understand what is there. Otherwise, even is there now, right now, no understanding. The same reality, the same appearance. That's why no one at all, before it can understand even any term like urgency, it has to understand right now at any moment of be urgent to consider carefully. Otherwise, we take the Dhamma so very easy all the time from day to day. No urgent to consider carefully.
So like an urgency of investigating of the what are really are, what's, how things really are.
So at moment of just listen and remember, is it what is meant by urgent, urgency?
Just remembering is not the urgency.
That's why I understand deeper and deeper what Buddha taught must be about what is there now, which is so subtle. It takes quite a long time for each reality, like urgency, see, to understand what moment. It's not the I who is trying, but it's the reality which is virya itself. Consider carefully, it takes quite a long time. And without that point of to be urgent to consider now, not wait until, there are how many citta and cittasikas, and what about the characteristic of what is there now? That's why each word is so very subtle. We can talk about urgency, but no understanding of urgent what, about what, to what.
So it's like the wholesome vidya needed to be accumulated, and the accumulation of such wholesome characteristics takes a very long time.
And it's now.
Yes.
And it has to be the wholesome virya with understanding.
Yes.
Because otherwise there might be wholesome virya when giving, but wholesome virya with understanding,
yes,
of the truth that it's just Dhamma, not I to do anything.
Yes.
Not I to try to make an effort to try to arrange things to have more understanding.
Is there seeing now?
Yes.
Always I see.
Yeah. When I think of seeing, it's still mixing a lot. Many things appear and still I...
So without the urgency to consider carefully,
yes,
to begin to understand that this moment is not the strong, firm understanding of seeing as not anyone or anything at all. It needs virya at level of urgency to consider each word carefully, not just take the word and the meaning. Like, what is urgency? It's virya. But what kind of virya? Not to read more, remember more, but to carefully consider the truth right now, to get closer, closer to the nature of seeing. That's why I begin to understand the virtues of the Buddha, the Dhamma. And that's the only moment of letting go, ignorance and attachment. Because the truth is so very subtle, it cannot show up at all when there's not enough right understanding. So, courage, urgent.
And it is subtle, not the effort to, not the urgency to read more or study more or find more free time, but at this moment, no matter where, when, naturally by conditions.
So it depends on understanding. What for? To understand and consider more words about the truth.
Oh, for I guess as for us now, it's only intellectual understanding level.
What level of urgency?
Yes, very, very weak.
Little by little, unknown.
Yes.
At our level, we can emergency a little bit, consider about some how big we unknown, and it lead to more patience for hearing more, to hearing the teaching more, and to condition more. One more, like you said, sometimes it's have a condition for more closer, for more attention for the what really is at when right time. And I just feel that.
No one.
Yes, for teach. Yes, just for hearing more.
At moment of reading, considering, not I, until then.
So Alberto, when you talk about the urgency or sense of urgency, what is it for you? How do you consider it?
Basically, not to waste time because of we can die tomorrow or even today.
And what?
Who knows?
What does it mean not to waste time?
Not to do things which takes you away from the teaching.
What would that be? What do you mean by doing things that take you away from the teachings?
Shopping, going to the movie.
We've been discussing how there can be consideration at any time. You think there's only consideration of the teachings in a situation like this when one is actually discussing Dhamma or maybe listening to...
As you said, it can happen any time, even while watching a movie or going to a football match. I don't like football, so I don't like...
Well, that's fine.
But I like movies, so
yeah.
I tend to watch movies. And I realize that it's not good for...
Dhamma.
Not good for Dhamma.
I watch a lot.
Because I end up watching TV for the whole day or something like that.
Is that a problem in terms of developing understanding?
I'd rather listen to the words of the Buddha.
Yes.
I've got the accumulation for watching TV a lot.
Right.
But I think I also have accumulation to listen to them. So it's a bit balanced, I don't know.
Do you have accumulations to consider the Dhamma that has been heard?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, maybe you don't. I don't know. Would you like flying back to Italy? Would you find yourself thinking about what had been discussed the day before?
I don't know. I mean, I can't answer the question, but I know that I'm interested in listening, so it doesn't. Particularly, yes.
Well, that's another matter if you're interested in listening. And sometimes you're interested in watching movies, so you do a bit of both.
And also it accumulates. So the more you watch movies, the more you like to watch movies.
Well, I'm not sure about that because as understanding develops, you may find that you're less inclined to watch movies.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But it doesn't happen by rejecting movies and deciding not to watch a movie because listening to Dhamma is more conditioned for reflection. When you say you've got strong accumulations for watching movies.
Yeah. I would say like this. Yeah. Because I love to movie.
So, what do you think? Is it something you should do less of, or do you think it doesn't matter particularly whether you watch the movies or not? In terms of developing understanding, I mean, not in terms of your family life, but in terms of the Dhamma.
As Ajahn Chah teaches, when we said about anything, but we have to understand about this. So sometimes I like good Alberto, I like movie. And sometimes when we spend many time to watching movie,
very tired for our body. Sometimes I have a thought like you just said, better to listen to Dhamma, to learn Dhamma, or better to play Vita. So, but as we understand from Ajahn, let everything be natural, because when we said about urchin, you have to understand what urchin is, like Ajahn just said. Not urchin to stop moving for learning Dhamma, but when enough condition, we will like here to consider about the Dhamma. So my question is, I have a question from before I come here.
Just before your question on that point, the urgency, the right effort, it has to come down back to this moment, to understanding what is true now. Not urgency to rush to Ajahn's room, not urgency to get on the flight to Hanoi, not urgency to turn off the movie. It has to be the effort, the right effort with understanding of what is conditioned here and now. If the conditions to turn on the TV, each moment, each thinking, each intention, each act is conditioned. So the understanding, no matter here or there, turning it on or not, it's more precious than all our ideas about the situation, the place, the time. It has to come back to understanding what appears now. Otherwise, as I said, if it's the idea of I needing to go here or there, it hinders the development of understanding of just what is conditioned now, seeing now, hearing now, any time, any place.
Or can I say, when we said about the situation in the conventional world, that's just a concept. So we should not consider on concept.
It happens by conditions lost. The thinking is lost in stories and ideas about television and movies and coming to Ajahn's room and Hanoi all the time. So lost in the stories. So it's not a matter of shouldn't, but understand the thinking is real, the seeing is real, the hearing is real. But Ajahn's room, the TV, the movies, these are all stories. So the urgency is the understanding of what is true, what is real now.
And the question I would like to bring up today is, Ajahn have asked to why consider on the reality on everything we talk about. So is why consider condition for Panya appear?
Wise consideration.
Never forget. Our dhammas, anatta. It's not strong yet to understand anatta, because what appears as atta. That's why no matter right understanding, which will condition even a moment of thinking, what is anatta? Impossible by thought. Because everything appears this and that all the time. So understanding the subtlety of the truth is the only way to know that no one can do anything, even this truth can letting go. Not the moment of I try so hard to understand it, to read, to stop this and do that at all. Because I lurks in almost every moment. And Panya knows little by little the Sila Patta Pramasa, the wrong practice. try to do this, or even a moment of intention just to understand that it's wrong. That's why Panya develops on and on and on, endlessly, until different level of Panya develops. So today, it's still something. And that is the understanding that actually it's just that which is seen. To be truthful, it's only that which is seen. The thinking, or at that moment, a little more attention to that which is seen, not just the word. The understanding of that which is seen. Urgency to consider carefully even that which is seen. Because in a day, moments of seeing, how can there be moment of that which is seen, that which is seen? But when it's time, it just arises by conditions, unexpectedly. Even the awareness, which hasn't been arisen at all, it begins not to forget the characteristic, which is hard. At that moment, nothing appears together, little by little. But when it appears, when just a moment of hardness is there, and everything appears as usual, but understanding begin to develop, it's not yet close enough to experience just one object. So all depends on understanding very carefully. Not try to experience only the reality which is seen. Because the I is there, wrong again, and Panya is the only reality which understands what is wrong. Little by little, deeper and deeper, unknowingly, that each moment of understanding develops so very gradually. No need to do anything. And the more understanding of the reality, it let go naturally, little by little, to be so natural. All depends on understanding. Because when there is the understanding now, and so many moments of no understanding, but when it arises, it's the same. Understanding, and a little more. Because it's a moment of letting go. So it means that the understanding is strong enough. Not secretly waiting or expecting. Panya understand.
So very deep and very subtle. Because when Ajahn says, no need to try to do anything, but urgent, emergency,
the more understanding.
Understand what is now.
The
so
more subtle.
If we not consider carefully, we there are many of them. So thank you, Ajahn.
Just only that state.
It's the opposite of what people consider by sense of urgency. He thinks sense of urgency means I must understand, I must come here, yeah. I must go there, I must take up the book, I must read.
Yeah.
This is the opposite. This is all I.
Yeah.
So sense of urgency has to be with letting go of the idea of I doing anything. Like if there are conditions now to think about your guitar and think about going to pick it up. Each moment of thinking, each moment of seeing is conditioned. There can be understanding any time. Yeah. It's just thinking, seeing, just like now, here.
Thank you, Ajahn. I keep consider more than on this and a little bit.
See, not by me. Deeper and deeper.
Letting go, I doing anything. Like we know now, no longer interested to go to the meditation center, but if there's interest to try to understand or try to experience visible object or try to have more wisdom by coming here or going there, it's all wrong practice. Just the same.
And sometimes, like with Alberto, I think about that. So, as Ajahn said, after that, we have a new life. But when I take care of a baby, when he from baby to many things we have to do. But after hearing from you, from Ajahn, so it's better, a little bit more. But sometimes, back to my house, sometimes I think about that. And I worry, but it's, I think, natural.
The thinking is conditioned, the worry is conditioned, because we take it as something so serious. But what about death now, at each moment?
Yeah.
And when the end of life comes, the end is by conditions, not by anyone's choice. No. Nothing I can do, so why worry about it?
With understanding like this, but with ignorance, maybe worry.
More worry,
more worry.
The more thank confidence you, in thank Dharma, you, more understanding.
Thank you, everybody.
Even the worry, it's just worry, you know.
Yeah.
It's non-self at all. That the Buddha said, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Yeah.
And only understanding can condition the right emergency.
The right emergency or urgency?
Urgency. When there's understanding, the sound doesn't matter, even it's not the right word. That's why it's just easy going as it is, by conditions.
And it also means less and less conditions for regret. Like if one's watching the movie, no wasting time thinking, oh, I should be reading the Dharma book instead, or I should have arranged so I don't need to go to the shops so that I can listen to the recording more. It causes more and more disturbance and worry. So it means instead of enjoying playing the guitar, you're thinking, oh, I should be doing something else. It's all the wrong idea. It's all utter thinking I can control. But actually, each moment of thinking, each moment of seeing, each moment of stepping forth, each decision is anatta conditioned. So no one can decide to go here or there to do anything. So letting go the idea I actually conditions more urgency, less idea of place and time and situation, even in an emergency at the hospital. No thought that this is wasting time or I shouldn't be at the hospital.
I think it's also emergency though too. Life it is in. So Ajahn, let's say the correct word is also emergency, because all the time that avicca, you know, it's emergency now, I think. We are emergency.
And at moment of regret, it's not right understanding.
Like if one misses the flight and misses the entire discussion, is there regret? But if there's understanding that each seeing is conditioned, each hearing is conditioned, each thinking is conditioned, Dhammada is just the way life is. Less thinking and clinging to certain situations.
Other topic? Can I? Ajahn, I would like to say a little bit about the Mahabhuta, Mahabhuta Rupa. I mean a individual Rupa. So first I want to talk about the Mahabhuta first. So we have a Patavi, Vayu, Tejo, and Apo. So Apo usually translate into Vietnamese like water. So I think something wrong there. Maybe I can say a little bit more about it, because I try a class for the Nepali you teach on Bangkok.
I don't know whether I have enough word for it, but there are three different elements.
Yeah.
Patui,
yeah.
Tejo,
Vayu,
and Apo, and Deer.
Apo.
The other three together.
Cohesion.
Usually we say the characteristic is cohesion, like binding the others together.
So we cannot say it water.
No. Because this is water.
You can't say apple is fire. Just understand everybody. Yeah.
Close your eyes. When there is the moment of touching, do you touch water? Heat or cold, softness or hardness.
Excuse me, but I think you said Mahabhuta 8, right? At least on the
4. Four Mahabhuta.
He said the Mahabhuta 4, but in a group, a kalapa of 8. Yes, yes.
We just said about
Mahabhuta. Buddha Ruta 4. But even if we say Apo Dhatu is water element, but the characteristic is the cohesion or binding together. We could say that Tejo is fire element, but actually the characteristic is heat or cold. So even if we say it's water element, but the characteristic is the cohesion.
Cohesion. And we can say when we touch, we touch the, we can experience the Patavi, the Vayu, the Tejo, but not Apo.
Because it's cohesion. It cannot be touched.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. A little bit.
Sorry. I have another technical question. But as Hunabeto story, it's continue from that, I understand that the understanding itself arises from conditions, not by context like walking or going shopping or playing guitars. Is that not depends on the location or the situation. So it's like when we talk about samatha, it's like very specific, right? But like I cannot imagine that someone can enter jhana while going shopping or watching movie. Or it's always like somebody must sit cross left leg. So isn't that the cross-leg sitting is a condition for samatha or jhana citta to arise? I'm sorry, just a curiosity.
If we talk about samatha, it's not a condition for samatha, because samatha is the development of calm that is associated with kusala. There's no need for any special position for that. At any moment of kusala, in daily life, there can be the understanding of the kusala nature or of the calm that is typical of any moment of kusala. So talking about samatha generally, there's no question of having to adopt a certain bodily position.
So does that mean that there can be jhana citta arise while walking shopping?
When we get to jhana, when samatha is developed to a very high degree, then the factor of concentration becomes more apparent, but not at the beginning levels, only at the advanced levels. It is said that, for example, that noise is a hindrance to the development of jhana for those who have reached the higher levels. So that's why a quiet place and the seated position.
It's a condition for jhana.
However, there are also references in the text to people who attain jhana without having to go to a quiet place. And in answer to your question, can there be jhana while walking? Yes, there can, if it's been developed. to a high degree. It's not dependent on bodily position or quiet place.
Okay. Sorry, thank you.
And for the development of insight, did the Buddha ever say no shopping, no cooking, no... Because we read about people becoming enlightened while cooking or bathing or any situation, fanning the Buddha. So
shopping.
Like Migajala, he said the living alone is not in the forest, it's living without one's mate, Loba, no matter whether one's in the busy market or... So being in the quiet forest with Loba means not living alone, but being in the market with Loba is living... Without Loba is living alone. So I think usually in the market one is shopping.
No, it's easy for... at least in a theoretical viewpoint, it's easy to imagine because Magacita, for example, is... just for a moment. So nothing prevent a magacita from arising while shopping, for example. But for example, jhana, like why a person entering a jhana state, it's only jhana citta, jhana citta, jhana citta, and he do not sense anything through eyes or ears, or and he cannot shopping because, you know, so it's impossible to shop when entering just only jhana citta. You understand what I mean?
Of course, the person who is entering jhana wouldn't be inclined to go shopping, but it's not the case that when there's jhana citta, there's only jhana citta. There are instances in the text of jhana citta alternating with non-jhana citta.
Oh, really? Yes. So I did not...
So all kinds of situations, but we just hear about the typical situation is what you describe, but there's much more to it than that.
Okay, so that's maybe one point that I missed. I only thought that when the jhana, the only jhana for a long period.
Well,
but
said
now you said that alternating jhana,
yes,
and jhana, so yes, that's a new point that I learned, I think.
Why are you concerned about the jhana cheetahs when we're talking about developing understanding of dharmas in daily life?
Yes, as I said, it's just a technical point, curiosity.
So what is jhana?
Jhana is higher citta. It's not a kamavakara bhumi, but...
The word.
Yes.
Kamajara. We have to understand what is it again.
Jhana is citta that...
Who develops samatha?
Someone with the understanding that what is akusala and what is kusala citta.
Only that?
Yes.
You know what is kusala and what is akusala?
No, I don't.
You don't know what is kusala?
Yes. I cannot distinguish.
Directly.
Yeah, theoretically I understand that kusala must arise. It's three root.
You mean that the person who develops samatha knows directly kusala or what?
I think he knows when there's akusala citta arise, for example, he know it is not kusala, for example, yes, directly.
As now knows what's kusala and what's akusala, or what? You mean that we do not know kusala and akusala?
I mean, for example, myself, I cannot distinguish between, for example, seeing and thinking after that. Not even mentioned why thinking, there's an alternating between kusala thinking and akusala thinking.
What is the state of jhana?
State of jhana, no sense experience.
Why?
Only thinking.
Why not?
Because the concentration is become grew so strong and it inhibit any sense experience.
Concentration or right understanding at some degree?
I think maybe both understanding of samatha.
That's why no understanding of samatha. That's why people think that they are practicing samatha, and they gain different levels, jhana and one, two, the first, second, so on. But in truth, it has to be a very wise person, not the degree of understanding the truth, but just see the danger of akusala. And how come akusala in a day, if there's no seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, there cannot be attachment instantly of that which appears, no matter it's visible object or smell or what. Only those who see the danger of the moment of akusala, the subtle akusala, but no understand it's not self. Just understand the difference moment between kusala and akusala. And that is not enough to develop samatha. There must be right understanding. Only when there's no seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, it's aware from akusala, gradually, little by little, and temporarily, but better than have more and more akusala after seeing and hearing. And they have to understand what object can condition calm until no seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching again during that period. It doesn't mean that anyone who would like to be calm just sit. Impossible, no understanding at all. That's why those people in the Buddha's time didn't listen to the teaching yet. So as much as they know, it's the danger of akusala and the way to be away from attachment, sensuous object. So they develop calmness when they understand what moment, what object can condition calm. Not just sit, no understanding of anything at all, and think that it's calm. At that moment, no understanding the danger of sensuous object. Because throughout the day, in a day, any moment, there is the attachment to sensuous object, unknowingly how much. So those who see the danger of attachment to sensuous object and understand what object will condition calmness.
Thank you. It's much clearer to me.
And I think when Ajahn mentions the object that conditions calm, she's referring to the contemplation of the object. So it's not like an object in the case of insight, which is a reality.
Yes.
It's just a concept. So death, for example, it's the way that death is
contemplated.
Considered.
Yeah.
So it's not having death as an object. Yeah, it's the consideration of the object.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
So again, it comes down to the understanding of the level of samatha, not the situation or place, but the understanding that leads to the development of calm and leads to the natural way of living, maybe with no loud sounds, but it all depends on the understanding. Both samatha bhavana and vipassana bhavana depend on understanding, but the understanding is different.
And at the moment of listening to the teachings, is it calm?
When there's a dry understanding, wise consideration, yes.
The more understanding is more calm.
Yes.
So at moment of understanding, the virtues of understanding is so calm. That's why at moment of understanding, it conditions calmness to the degree not at level of jhana, but only upajara. Just close, but not. It cannot lead to that level. That's why there must be understanding of the reason why such and such object can condition calmness to what degree. So anyone who doesn't understand anything at all, just go to the beach and watching the sunrise. Only the color at that moment. No understanding of citta. No understanding why that is the object of calmness gradually until it can attain what level of calmness. So it's not easy. And it said among 1,000 persons, only one can attain the first degree, the second degree of calmness. So anyone who just sit and just do something, reciting and so on, is not calm and not jhana at all.
And the calmness that develops with understanding of realities is higher calm, purer calm, and at moments of understanding with calm. No disturbance, but at moments of an idea of thinking, I should go to a quiet place, or I should be opening the text while I'm playing the guitar, or now I should be in a Jan's room when I'm on the outing. Not calm at all at those moments. So the conventional idea of sense of urgency is disturbance all the time.
Summary of the iPhone part is a higher calm than samatha.
Higher concentration, yes. Adichitta.
Thank you.
Is it easy?
No. As you said, it takes a very, very wise person.
Yeah. And to be truthful to that moment too, whether there is the understanding of the danger of the object which is not the object of calmness. Understanding saves ones from wrong understanding. No matter this person had attained arahatship or jhana, without understanding, there must be belief that is true. But in truth, understanding knows it's right or wrong. That's why there is different words like sila and adhisila, atibanja. Not just sila, samadhi and panya, but atisila, atichitta and atipanya. The difference between level of understanding and sila and samadhi.
We just have a few minutes left. Lee, did you want to bring up any topic?
I was just thinking about after hearing your discussion and the teaching from Ajahn and teachers, I'm just thinking about the all Dharma is the equal. I mean, I just thinking in my head now that because sometimes we think that when we hear Ajahn say about we should know about Dharma with we can experience like something appear, but if like that, we can think that we should choose the object to think, like we only learn about the seeing or hearing, and but we can easier ignore some other reality like other jetasika or something. So from today's discussion, from the question from Mr. Shen and other topic, so I think that it's like the wrong way when we choose the object or something to learn, but we can learn, should learn and know more and listen more about every reality to know that it's all Dhamma, it's anatta, and it's work as it is. So it arrives and go away. So even we should not hurry to take anything or like an object to learn. And the question here that can if the Dhamma is equal, so like Kusala and Akusala is equal, but here equal here is what's the meaning of equal here? It's the same meaning that all Dhamma is the, how can I say, I forgot the name, Anatta, not Anatta, like the pure, Pandra. Yeah, it's Pandra. And if we, how can I say, if we choose something, it's like, it's make the Dhamma is not Pandra cool. anymore, right? At that time, I mean.
Just a quick comment. It's not all Dhammas are Pandra anyway. It's Citta is Pandra. Just Citta. But when Ajahn is talking about, for example, seeing as being something that doesn't appear and is not known, it's not with the idea that we should then focus on seeing, but it's just like a reminder that there are Dhammas which don't appear now, and maybe because they haven't been considered, she's not suggesting that we should pay more attention to seeing, only that it's one thing to be considered.
Any idea of selection or any idea of trying to understand a particular Dhamma is the wrong path. That's the point. All Dhammas are anatta.
Yes.
So we listen, we consider about seeing, because if there's understanding of seeing, there's understanding of hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. We learn about visible object, but actually it's the same for the other sense objects.
Yes.
As soon as there's even a little trying to understand or be aware of particular Dhamma, it's not right.
Yes, but our Dhamma arrive and fall away very quickly. So when we consider, I think it's quite normally that we can suddenly remember the teaching from Ajahn that she often say about the seeing and hearing. And I think it's naturally to think about seeing and hearing after that.
Natural to think about seeing or hearing because they're so common. It's now, it's daily life.
Yes.
But if it's trying to attend to or trying to be aware of seeing or hearing, then it's the wrong practice again. Yes. So by conditions, if there's considering about seeing or hearing, it's by conditions naturally.
And also the fact that Dhammas arise and fall away very quickly doesn't really play a role in the fact that they don't appear. Because when they do appear to awareness and understanding, it won't be a single moment of the Dhamma. It'll be like the image of several moments. So it really comes back to the lack of development of understanding of the different realities. And it's not so much that they fall away too quickly to be understood.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Because sometimes we, when we thinking a lot, and the object of thinking is like what we are, some lesson we heard from the discussion, and we forgot and ignore the object, the visible object is arise and fall away now, and at that time is also the wrong way, right?
It's just by conditions, how many visible objects are rising and falling away now.
A lot, but actually object of the thinking that is the only concept. And
it's gone. And
yes.
It's gone. Each one gone. Unimportant. It's gone. And now more considering, more thinking, more seeing, more hearing.
Mm-hmm. I just thinking about the situation that when we considering a lot and the object of considering at that time is just the story. I mean the story of Dhamma, but and don't have any condition to have the visible object or seeing is the object of thinking at that time. Maybe, but it's still the reality, right? At that time.
The concept, the idea of seeing, the idea of visible object.
And it's not I that thinks, it's just moments of thinking, considering, and then thinking and considering about the orange juice or anything else.
Mm.
So it's just as it is, just as it's conditioned to be.
Yes, but easily to think about I'm thinking about Dharma and the concept, the idea of self at that time, a lot. Yeah.
And if there's any trying to stop it, that's wrong. It's just how it is.
Possible, yeah.
Yes, naturally. So letting go the burden of thinking it should be another way. It's how it is conditioned.